Okay. Let's send an email. People have questions that we're not answered. Please send an email to Andrew. CC me. I'll follow up. We seem to be meeting on a fairly regular basis. So we are now going to move on to the second half of public comments. So if somebody will bring me the clipboard or pass it up or something. You're on there? Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Aki. Yeah. Okay, now it's Kate Gallen's turn. 2 minutes.
Right. I came prepared this time because I hate microphones and I'm not good with them. And it consists of some obvious observations, some of which will recap what's already been said here. First point is that my view is that management has precipitated a crisis with a series of decisions that have threatened KPFA's viability in the eyes of listener supporters like me. The good news is you've energized us. You've got the sleeping giant awake and engaged. The bad news is we're mad as hell. We're demanding accountability, and we're demanding the information we need. And I would like to thank Margie and Craig and Barbara for being foremost on the line of providing that information all along the line. And the small point that I haven't heard made here is that management essentially has done a high-risk experiment, and you've had two fund drives since the morning show was canceled. The first one came in over projections. This one is falling short. I would like to suggest that the difference is the first one, we still had some hope that you could be made to see reason and see what you were doing, the effect of what you were doing was having on the station and the listenership. And this time, we've become cynical, and we don't, you've told us repeatedly that there is nothing we can do, nothing we can say, no amount of money we can pledge that's going to bring back what we value, that is the heart of the station. And we're angry. And it seems to exhibit an arrogant attitude that says that there's nothing better on the dial, so you'll take what we give you, and you'll like it, and you'll pay for it. And this amounts to management playing chicken with the listenership. And I think that's a really dumb policy.
Thank you, Kate. Kate's followed by Lisa Detmer, who, is that right? Did I say? Okay, followed by Randy Christensen.
Hi, I work on the Women's Magazine, along with a collective of other people, women. I just want to say, I really think there's blame enough to go around here, and I think it's time that we all own up to what our responsibility is, and not point the finger at other people, okay? We all have responsibility. Andrew, I didn't understand your program changes, because they were never explained. I think you need to think them out better. But you need to stick to it when you do, not withdraw them because you got some pressure from a group that we've already admitted is hyperbolic at the best. You know, I think there should be a good morning show. I liked the morning show, but you need money to have a morning show. How are we going to do that when the staff wasn't willing to make changes to go along with the management that would, yeah, I'm looking at you, wouldn't make changes that would be accommodating, that would try to make changes that would save money, except for it's an all or nothing. That's the problem. The problem is not disagreeing, it's the way it's being done. It's a hostile environment that's being created, internally and externally. And is that really what we want to do? Do we want to create hate radio? Because that's what it feels like. I work for free, and I don't need to come into an environment that's hostile. You know, Voices of the Middle East, Guns and Butter, Women's Magazine, pushing this, maybe we should all go somewhere else. Because we're not appreciated at this station. We're not supported by the paid staff. We're not supported by a management that's functioning. We still don't have functioning staff meetings. We weren't supported by the last management. So you guys need to stop fighting. Seriously, Sasha said something about finding commonalities. When are you going to do that? When? When someone's gotten shot? You know that Carrie gets threatening letters? I saw them. Do you want to create a hate environment? Or do you want to create a place of harmony? That's, I guess, what I'm asking, all of you.
Randy Christensen, followed by Janet Coburn.
Hey, y'all. I didn't intend to say anything, but there were some things that came up that really caused me to feel like I had to say something. I spent 3 weeks in 1999 in front of the station helping to organize Camp KPFA. I feel like I'm coming up to the same kind of thing again. I feel like there is a fifth column, and it's you. The things that are coming down from Pacifica are quite frankly BS. You say that you need a $400 an hour attorney to negotiate a grievance? That's bullshit. Sorry. You know, I do grievances every day. I do it with AT&T. They don't pay $400 an hour for a law firm. Their managers sit down and talk with us. That's what you need to do. You need to sit down and talk with the people at the station when there's a grievance. That's what managers are for. You said no union was needed. You could do this station on a volunteer basis. That's true. And it seems like you're on a good path to get there. And you're going to ruin our station in the process. We got a damn good community station here, and we intend to defend it. And that's what we're going to do. So if you feel a little heat, that's good. I'm glad. I feel really good about that. You say that the union is sabotaging the fund drive. I just wanted to clarify. The union is not sabotaging the fund drive at all. KPFA worker is not sabotaging the fund drive. As a matter of fact, we're reaching out, and we're winning new members, and we're increasing the funding for the station. As a matter of fact, in a couple of days, KPFA worker raised $9,000 plus. We went to union bodies. We've gotten new members. We've gotten volunteers. We've gotten pledges. We've gotten a lot of stuff. And so that is not true, what you said. And it's not helpful, what you said. David Bacon is loved, and he's an important person for the labor movement in this area. We need David Bacon and the morning show back. And so if you feel some heat coming because you removed that from us, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling some heat, because that's what you need to feel. In order to move, you need to return David Bacon and the morning show. That's what we want. We're the listeners. We're the people of this area. You need to listen to us. And you need to work with the people at the station. That's why they got a manager. That's what the whole idea is. There was one last thing I want to say. Andrea mentioned that she's having trouble maybe going over and doing fundraising. And I can understand that. And I'm trying to break down the problems at the station, help break them down. And yet at the same time, what you can find on Tuesday is an all-volunteer union staff manning phones.
Thank you. Janet is followed by Paula, and I'm sorry, Paula, I can't read your last name.
Madam Chair, point of personal privilege here.
Yes.
Or information. I'm noticing people are swearing, and if we are intending this to be broadcast, I would just encourage people not to do that.
Oh, okay. Don't use any bad
words. That violates FCC.
The FCC violates
the
words.
Bad word.
Don't use the seven bad words. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Andrea. I didn't notice. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I came to the meeting a little late, so I missed part of the discussion, so I hope what I say is in context. I want to start out to thank Andrew for taking on the challenge of being the interim general manager. KPFA has a record of kind of chewing up general managers. Andrew, I find Andrew creative and willing to listen and willing to take risks and taking willingness to take responsibility. And I think that is very commendable. I hear many of you talk about the listeners this, the listeners that, and the listeners want to hear this. And, my impression is it's the listeners that whoever is speaking about them is hearing from. It's not all the listeners. So, I mean, there's different sets of listeners. I also was in the fund room taking calls during the three and a half hour 9/11 programming the other day, and I was only there for about an hour. The phones were ringing off the hook, and most of the people who called in were new listeners, from my experience. Also, about the websites, Margie, you were saying that, oh, anybody can start a website, but anybody does not have access to the airwaves, and the hosts and programmers who say these websites, they're sounding official. There's also PacificaEveningNews.org that Mark Miracle talks about almost every day. I mean, I don't listen to the news every day, but he says, listen to this, go to this website. It's not an official website.
Okay, Paula is our last speaker.
Hi, my name is... Is it on? Oh, okay. My name is Paula Urkel. I've been coming down here for this for four meetings now, and I live up in the mountains in Casadero, but I've been a longtime Berkeley resident, involved in Women's Health Collective, Berkeley Free Clinic, People's Park School, Food Conspiracy, all that stuff. I'm a retired MD, and now I'm a writer and a gardener, and I'm an alarmed listener. I'm afraid that we are going to lose this station, and that's why I've been coming here trying to figure out what's going on. I voted for both sides, but I based my vote on who here is going to be taking a responsible financial position. That is our main problem right now, not making program changes. And I was at the Berkeley Historical Society last Sunday. Why did we lose our co-op, you know? And are we gonna be saying, why did we lose KPFA? Well, the reasons we lost our co-op was overexpansion, pushy, out of touch managers, and being out of touch with the Rochdale Cooperative principles. So if you apply that to this situation right here, the overexpansion, as far as I'm concerned, has to do with the Pacifica Foundation, who has been robbing our local station to pay for other stations and getting totally out of control. And that needs to be stopped, and we need to have more local control. And the other thing was the managers being out of touch. And I liked Andrea's suggestions of what a manager could do. I think there needs to be more of a job description for the manager and a structure put in place. We shouldn't be sitting here arguing about programs right now. Programs is not the problem. The finances are the problem. And I think, and there's also a either-or mentality going on here. You know, let's do both and, you know, because that's what's happening, an either-or mentality. Let's stop this. We got to save the station. And Save KPFA has been my lifeline right now just for getting news as to what's going on. And the third point about the Rochdale principles, you know, the mission of the station, I like Sasha's suggestion of working and commuting, I would be even more furious than I am right now. I refuse to listen to that station until 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm contribute generously to this station, and I still do. And I love the 911 program, by the way.
Thank you. Paula has volunteered to help. She was concerned about having LSB meetings in areas where listeners who don't live in Berkeley and Oakland could access the meetings. And so she arranged for us, if the board agrees, to meet in a library in Rohnert Park for our June 18th meeting. And so I think we ought to thank her and agree to do that. So, all right. I forgot to put that item on the agenda, so I guess we'll need to deal with it because I think the board has to approve. But thank you very much, Paula, for doing that. All right, we're moving on now to committee reports. Oh, Richard.
I want to reinstitute my point of order.
Oh, yes, okay.
Bylaws.
Go ahead.
The bylaws say that when something's not covered in them, we follow Robert's Rules of Order. Robert's
All right.
Rules of Order 630 says, do not discipline somebody for conduct outside the meeting without giving them a formal hearing and trial. And that was not done. So I think that you have to avoid
that discipline.
Since you was discipline.
No, I don't think so. Well, let me just say.
Maybe it doesn't matter.
No. What I found on the web about a motion to censure is a censure of a member or officers to warn him that if certain behavior continues, the next step is discipline. That's what. So it's not actually a disciplinary. It's not a court. I do not believe it's a disciplinary action. It's a warning. In which case, I would say that your motion isn't.
I think that
applicable.
Applies under Robert's rules the way I read them to things that happen here. In other words, somebody gets out of line here, yes, you can do that, but it says clearly that anything that happens outside of the meeting.
Okay, well, I'm going to rule your motion out of order and hope that we can move on. Okay, so challenge the chair. Wait a second, I have my little short thing here. Okay, so a challenge to the chair requires a second. Is there a second? Okay, and then then there's no. It's not 2/3. It's a simple majority. But there's, I do not believe it is debatable. No, it's not debatable. So,
and the chair votes.
I'm sorry?
Chair votes.
And the chair votes.
I think it is debatable.
Well,
can we hear the Roberts rules? Can we hear the provision?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we read it?
Challenge, do you have the challenge question?
I'll look in here. This is dueling Roberts rules of order. Yes, let's take a break after we do this. Okay. It's called appeal. It's actually called appeal to the chair.
Well, no, we're talking about the one that his objection.
Page 630 under section 61, it says, if improper conduct of a member of a society occurs elsewhere than at a meeting, members generally have no first-hand knowledge of the case. Therefore, if disciplinary action is to be taken, charges must be preferred and a formal trial held before the assembly of the society or before a committee, standing or special, which should be required to report its findings to the assembly for action.
Okay. So I'll say again that I do not believe a motion to censure is discipline. It is a warning, and it is a warning that if conduct covered by the motion of censure continues, then discipline will take place. So I do not believe your motion is ordered. Now, we're ready to move on unless you wish to appeal the ruling of the chair.
I already did.
Okay, so we don't need to hear that. We need to hear about the appealing the decision of the chair.
Information?
Sure.
Sorry. I don't know if this is possible. I guess it is because we have the minutes. I was asking if we could read the wording of the motion of censure that Richard's referring to into the record, because you're defining it as a warning that if certain behavior persists, something would be done, and I don't think that's what it actually says. So could I ask that it be
Sure.
read aloud?
Sure. Absolutely.
And then we can vote.
Is it in the minutes?
Yes, it's in the minutes.
Okay.
6 to the motion is not in the minutes.
Okay, the text of the motion is not in the minutes that's on the website, but it's referred to in the minutes. I'll read the text of the motion that was approved. This is the censure motion. I'll remind people that there were three censure motions pertaining to the email situation, two of which were approved, one of which was tabled. This is one that was approved. So this is resolution of censure. The KPFA LSB hereby censures KPFA LSB member Tracy Rosenberg for the improper receipt of an email list of KPFA subscribers and the subsequent delivery of that list to an outside organization controlled by her, and thereafter using that list to send emails to KPFA subscribers falsely purporting to come from KPFA, and further for the use of that list for the improper and unauthorized purpose of promoting a program that the station management had not decided to promote.
Use the mic, please. Question.
When this resolution was put forward, Tracy was here, and she was asked, and there was a whole discussion on this. Doesn't that constitute a trial? I don't understand. That you have to have a formal trial?
It's not discipline.
Hold on. It's not discipline. It is a warning. We are saying that we believe, this is what the word censure means. The word, and it's defined in Robert's Rules of Order. I just read it to you. A motion of censure is a warning that says that we didn't like this behavior this time, and if you do it again, we'll take disciplinary action. That's what Robert's Rules of Order says.
Margie, that's not what the motion says. Where does the motion say the KPFA LSB requests that you not engage in this behavior again?
Well, that's what censure means.
That's
not what the motion that you passed is.
Okay. I don't want to do this anymore. I have made a ruling. I will tell you what Robert's Rules of Order says about appealing the decision of the chair, which is where we're at right now, okay? We're now at the point of I've made a decision as the chair that this motion is out of order. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with me. It doesn't matter. Now you're going to appeal, and Richard has as his right, made a motion. I'm not going to recognize you, Andrea. Let me finish, and then you'll see if you have a point of information. Richard has made a motion to appeal the decision of the chair that has been properly seconded. The Robert's Rules of Order says it is not debatable, it is not amendable, and the vote required for adoption is majority in the negative to require the reversal of the chair's decision. So let me say one more thing. I'll say it one more time. A motion has been made to appeal my decision. If you wish to appeal my decision, you vote yes, and if you wish to support my decision, you vote no. That's how it works, okay? So there has to be a majority no votes in order for my decision to be upheld. Okay. Andrea, hold on a second.
Point of order,
please. Hold on. Andrea has the first one. Go ahead.
Is it true that if a motion of censure passes, that the idea is that should a second...
We're not discussing the motion of censure now. You're discussing the motion of appealing the ruling of the chair.
I'm asking a question.
Okay.
My question, because a question was raised as to whether or not this is a disciplinary matter.
Right.
One censure, you're calling it a warning. However, should that offense that I put that in...
Yeah, I understand.
Should that offense occur again, that would lead to the dismissal of that person from the board, correct?
With a proper, there would have to be a trial and a hearing and all of that prior to anyone being dismissed from the board.
But this is a part of a disciplinary process. Is that true?
It depends. Unions and employers debate this all the time. It is a warning.
That would be the first step in a disciplinary process.
Okay. All right. Anthony had a point of information.
Yeah, I don't claim to be a Robert's Rules geek by any means, but I understand that this particular motion is always stated in terms of affirming the decision of the chair. A yes vote affirms
right.
the chair. A no vote rejects
exactly
the chair.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said.
No, you said to vote no, but that's all right.
You said it the other way because he...
Majority, it says majority in negative required to reverse the chair's decision.
But you summarized it
Got it. Okay. So if you agree with my decision that this motion is out of order, please vote yes. And if you disagree, please vote no. And I will ask the secretary to do the roll call.
Just one point of information.
Yes.
Where in Robert's rules do you find that definition of censure?
Oh. I'm sorry. I took it off a website, and I don't know what it is. It says to censure a motion or officer is to warn him that him or her, to warn him or her that if that certain behavior continues, the next step suspension or expulsion. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Yes. I did. My name's Margie, not Margie.
It's okay.
Okay, so we're clear on what a yes vote means. It means to uphold the ruling of the chair, and a no vote means to overturn the ruling of the chair, correct? Okay. Agamir?
No.
Agamir, no. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Futron?
Yes.
Futron, yes. Gann's not here. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Hallinan Kahn?
Yes.
Hallinan Kahn, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Hyunmi?
Did she step out of the room or did she leave?
Hyunmi is not here. Sorry. Kim. I'm sorry. you're up voting yes or no. Do you understand the yes and no votes?
I pass.
You pass. Okay. Kim passes. Kurzweil not here. Nor?
No.
Nor, no. Phelps?
No.
Phelps, no. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett, no. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Russell, not here. Sawyer?
Not in the room.
Not in the room. Okay. Siegel, not here. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Tanaka?
No.
Tanaka, no. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Does she get
to judge? She's chair. Okay,
she
sorry.
She votes on this.
She gets to vote. Yeah, I'll make
the decision.
I think I get to vote on this.
You do.
Question.
You do.
You get to vote if your vote impacts whether or not the motion passes.
Okay, so I'll pass. Withers.
Yes.
Withers, yes. So it's 9-9.
Go back to Kim.
Oh, Hyunmi? Okay. Hyunmi votes no. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so it is now 9 yes and 10 no.
No, sir.
Okay.
I don't think so. Are you sure?
I thought it was 9-9. Yes.
Okay. So I vote yes.
Okay, so it's 10-10.
That's right, fails.
10-10.
I can.
So the motion to affirm the chair fails.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
Your motion to overturn the chair fails.
If you have the chair kept it from passing.
Right.
Which might be something to investigate in Robert's rules whether that's possible.
Yes, let's do that.
But that's what happened. It passes without the chair's vote.
Right.
Okay, can we go ahead?
Can we take a break or something?
Yeah, can we take
a break and then resolve that?
Okay, so.
I know. Okay.
I don't care.
Let's just take it.
How long is the break, Madam Chair?
No more than 10 minutes, okay? We'll be back at
5 after 3.
I know we end at 4. We have to be out of here. I understand. I don't know what I did.
Yeah, I think that doesn't work.
You've been working on this. Let me take a
I was just going to go now. I've already gone back. I did a bad
idea. Yeah, they just
started at 2 a.m. there, but they were at the first day was wrapped up at 2 a.m. obviously.
I believe
but they're just going out to dinner. All day, just dressed in shut down the Native supply and all the stuff. 40%, I don't know how, I think it's 40% to get to Afghanistan. Block the roads again.
So they're trying to stop there again to war in Afghanistan?
Good. I gotta try. I gotta find the.
Good for you, man.
Evening news. Who's the evening news tonight? What time they come in usually?
Wow, that's cool.
Or if I should go there and give them that interview if they want it. Okay. Well, the interview that happened today. I'll go over there and do that.
Wait, where are you going? Wait, no, don't go. Can you stay?
I'm going right back.
How soon? Because these things that come up for us.
Oh, I'm just going to go there real quick and come back within a second.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm not going for any doctor's time.
Motion requiring two-thirds adoption where when the chair votes when the chair votes where his vote will affect the result. So this says there are 39 in affirmative and 38 in the negative. The chair votes in the negative, making 39 in the affirmative, 39 in the negative, so that there is less than a majority in the affirmative and the motion is lost. That's exactly what happened.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
It's really insane. This has been really insane. I think being your face is
talk about
Okay, I'm calling this meeting back to order. Take your seats.
absolutely get down
on
that question.
There's no question.
There was no question.
Let's go.
Everybody take your seats. Everybody back there be quiet.
Who is tank?
Bishop.
Let's go.
Anybody want a bagel?
Oh. We have some fruit up here.
There's
for the guy who needs
some. Bottom of the pile. We're done.
I think I can.
Buy that
one. I'll let it be a time. I'll put it down just to check my thing.
All right. Calling the meeting back to order. Everybody have your seat. We got enough board members in the room to conduct business. I think we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, we got it. Okay, here we go. We are on to committee reports. Yes, Richard.
I just want to notify the chair that based on my feelings about this issue, I'm withdrawing the motion to censure that I have put forward.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. That makes new business a little shorter. Thank you very much. Okay. So now committee reports. PMB, I guess Andrea. Oh, Andrea and Laura. Oh, okay. Forgot about Laura. Okay.
The shadow
member. So Andrea, can you give us a brief report on the PMB?
No, because I wasn't on.
Oh, you weren't on the last call.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, when Tracy returns to the room, we will ask her. Okay.
I was in and off of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So on the fundraising, the local station board fundraising committee has not met since the last LSB. And it's really my fault. I had a really hard time getting responses from people and figuring out a time to meet. But I will work on that, and we will get a meeting of the fundraising committee. We will talk about, under new business, the booster for Santa Cruz, which really should have been the property of the fundraising committee, but it came in a funny way, which I'll explain, and I'm hoping that people will be interested and supportive. So at the next meeting, we will have a report from the fundraising committee. I apologize. Oh, and the only other thing I want to say is that just a few days ago, after I had emailed her several times, Arlene finally responded to me and told me that the non-disclosure agreement that the fundraising committee had developed was okay and that we could use that. So we will need to get each member of the board to sign that, because we will be expecting all of you to participate in our fundraising events. So that's it on the fundraising committee. Does anybody want to ask me any questions? Boring. Okay. Con, Personnel Committee.
Okay.
Sorry, give him a microphone.
That one right here. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We have done a number of things this past week. First thing we did was I went and I took the description for the general manager post, which was posted at Pacifica and was not up to date. And so I went to, Maria and I sat and we edited it and made certain that it was up to date. I also had to check with Pacifica to make certain that that there were parts of the benefits that were offered in the original thing that we were still offering those benefits. The answer was yes. So what we've done now is that we have this description that's up to date. We're migrating it from Pacifica to the KPFA website, so it'll be up on the KPFA website. What we decided to do was, there's a couple of places we're gonna have to pay in order to advertise it. Partly those are equal opportunity requirements, so we're gonna take out an ad in the Chronicle. It'll be a very, very short ad, that is, it'll just say the job is open and give the website, and people can go to the website and they can get all the information from the website. We have a couple of other places that we'll also need to advertise. We need to advertise in Currents. We have advertised in the past in the Progressive, and I think it's probably a pretty good place to do that. Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll use some of the community announcement sections of daily newspapers, and then we have a fairly extensive list of alternative media operations, nonprofits, et cetera, which we won't have to pay to advertise the job at. And in those cases, what we will actually do is we'll be able to not only advertise the fact that the job is there, we'll be able to move the job description over so that people can actually take a look at them on websites. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go in Monday, and Maria and I will sit down and we'll make up a little short description, as short a description as we can get, because everything is money, and to send to the couple of paid advertisements. And then what we've decided to do is that the people on the committee are just going to take a certain block of the other places that we're going to advertise. And I have a list if people are interested in that. I can give you a full list of things. And they will take responsibility for making certain that the job is posted at those things. We do have one problem, and I will be a little critical of Anthony and Sharam. You did not get back to me on this last email, please. I questioned whether we needed a meeting Tuesday night. Okay? You got to look at your emails, right? Didn't answer the last one, didn't answer this one, got to do that. What we need to do is decide whether or not, and we can take a minute after the meeting just to decide this, or else we'll do this over email. Tomorrow, you can email me. Question is whether we actually need a meeting for Tuesday night, or once I'm able to get the description from Maria to all of you, whether we can just take it, just divide it up and do the job. So the point is, at this point, is that we're pushing hard. We got the ball rolling last week. My plan is, at the end of this week, by the end of this week, the job descriptions will and the ads will be out there. And so we should start getting applications in. Applications are all going to, and this people ought to know, because you may have people who you know personally that you want to apply for the job. We're sending all of the applications, will go to the business office at KPFA, and they'll be marked for the general manager position, station general manager position. And we'll collect them in the business office. We, Sharam and Anthony are going to work out a system, which they were assigned last time, yes, to have a locked box so that we can have evening meetings to go over the things. The applications have to stay in the station. That's a requirement. And so what we need to do is we need to have a place that we can lock them up in the station, and then once a week, whatever we want to do this, when we get enough in, then we'll pull the committee together, we'll go through, we'll develop a triage. We made one other decision, which is that we thought what we would do is that we would get down to a pool of, oh, say 10 or something like that, and at that point we would bring staff members in. So the staff members would have an input into the process. Staff members don't actually vote on the committee, but they're a very important part of it. So, but we felt that there was no sense in having staff members go, because sometimes you get 100, you know, applications, and some of them are, I've been through this, they're really not serious applications. So if we can get down to a pool of about 10, then I think that's the time you bring staff members in. And the idea is see if we can get a pool of, I mean, it depends. It's really hard to say. Somewhere between 4 and 6 that we want to end up with to be able to make a recommendation to Pacifica for the general manager position. Any questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where does the LSV as a whole come into that?
What happens is we will come up with a pool. We will then interview the pool. And there are two levels, three levels of interviews, really. And then we will kind of winnow that pool down to, I'm in three, four people, something like that. That's what comes before this body. And it's an executive session, because this is all highly confidential stuff. And at that point, I think, then the LSB votes on who it is that they're recommending. And they can do it in ranked orders if they want. Okay. Now, I will warn people, we recommend. We don't hire. We don't. All we have is recommending. The ED doesn't have to accept our pool. It doesn't have to accept our recommendation. Okay? But that's how it goes.
Other questions?
Other questions? Can you give Andrea...
Yeah,
Sorry, you guys.
I'm just curious about your timeline what it looks like, and also I'm just presuming that the interim general manager will remain beyond the 6 months.
Don't know.
Should, what happens if that person's 6 months are up and we still haven't gotten through this process?
Well, I would very much doubt we're going to be through the process by that time, because I believe his 6 months is up in July, sometimes at the end of July.
July 1.
But there's no way we're going to get to, I don't think. Now, what's happened before is we'll decide on a certain period of time, and the committee needs to discuss that. We haven't done that because we haven't got that far. I think the last time, I think we did it for 3 weeks. We held it over for 3 weeks, or I can't remember exactly what it was. And then at the end of that, we shut it down, and that's what we have at that point. Then it normally takes a couple of meetings to get through to a pool, and the interview process is a lot. You've got, generally you have 3 days in which you interview. Now, sometimes you can do it on phone, sometimes you do it at night, etc. But there's a general interview, then there's a specific interview, and then there can be a third interview, though sometimes we can get away with two. But so it's a long process, and everybody's got to have their schedules, or somehow has to come into this. You know, I'm going to be out of town from June 21st to July 5th.
I have one more question. Are you also going through this process for a program director?
No, we don't hire a program director.
Oh,
LSB does not hire the program director. The general manager, the station manager hires the program director.
No, we screen.
We screen.
We screen and put together a pool.
Yeah.
That's in the bylaws.
Aha. Yeah. We never did that before.
So I'm wondering.
When we did it, we didn't do that. So you guys did that. Well, then we have to go through a pool, too. It's going to be a long process. I don't know. But program director, the key thing is to get the general manager in place. And that's our focus, you know. Now, obviously, some of the people who are going to apply for general manager might be candidates for program director too. So the pool, you know, has some wash over between the two things. Other questions?
Oh, so why don't we broaden it out?
Broaden what out?
Ask for applications now for the PD as well. I'm just a workaholic.
You know what? I know, but I'm not. I mean, I am a workaholic, but this isn't what I workaholic on. I don't think, you know, one of the problems about PD is obviously a PD has to be a person that's compatible with your general manager. So there's a very close relationship between the two things. I have never seen the job description for the program director because we didn't do it, but you know it.
It's about 20 years old.
Oh, God, okay.
It actually says things like, must be able to walk up and down a flight of stairs several times a day. That's how old that description is.
Before Americans with Disabilities. I'll locate that, and we'll take a look at it and run it by several people. But at this point, folks, I'm concentrating on the general manager. I'm just not doing anything else.
Anthony?
Yeah, I would add that the hiring process for the PD is identical to the hiring process for the GM, with the exception that the final choice is of a PD is made by the GM.
The GM.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any other questions for the personnel committee? All right, thank you.
Except answer your emails.
Okay, now we're moving on. Outreach, Andrea.
Are you going to do a PND report?
We'll come back to it. Yeah, we did miss it, but we'll come back to it after we finish this. Okay.
Outreach looks like this. On April 27th, we showed KPFA on the air in the performance studio at the station. And there was some familiar faces for sure. But there were some new faces, and it's part of our effort to make sure that everybody's educated about the history and the purpose of the station so that they can act as part of the Speakers Bureau or represent tabling and just kind of be on the same page that way. We followed up with a meeting last week. And the one fruit of that evening was this guy, Sam, from Petaluma. Petaluma. And he's really interested. He wants to have a forum up there. We had gathered some Petaluma addresses and contacts at the Progressive Festival from last year that we haven't really had much to do with it. But if he can anchor that, it actually is possible that we're going to start having more activity. So if you can work, if we can hook you up with this guy and get a little synergistic thing happening. What we discussed was the possibility of maybe having some of the programmers, like if y'all up in your area wanted to actually have an evening with a KPFA programmer and see if we could get somebody, some folks who want to go up and talk about community radio and just kind of get them psyched to meet some of the personalities behind the mic and, you know, get it going like that and get your people up there going out. The other part of our strategy is to do farmers markets. And so most of the surrounding areas have farmers markets. Hopefully it's kind of pleasant for people to be out there and do the tabling. You know, we're still in the same problem, though. We ran out of, we're not sure what the programming grid is going to look like. So when it comes to talking to people, we don't have, I know you're hearing this. You're just looking preoccupied. Andrew. One of the issues for our outreach efforts is that we have no money. We have no resources. So we're looking. Perrine Kelly continues to do an excellent job of bottom lining some of these events. So we went to the New Life Expo in San Francisco at the Concourse Center. But we gave out all of our bumper stickers. And we don't have any copies of the program grid. And we're really kind of at a loss as to how to get even those bare outreach materials. So any assistance, I know you guys have your plate more than full, but any efforts you and Carrie can make on that. We're also planning on Juneteenth is coming up. We talked to Joy Moore, and the hope is to get some programming going around Juneteenth. There's sort of an interesting story. This year, Juneteenth is being held on the same day as Gay Day, which apparently, was not a bad, I guess if Manning Marable is correct, I mean, it's not totally... outrageous, but the outrageous thing is that the city of Berkeley, apparently the police decided that they don't feel like working on Father's Day, which is the 19th, and that's been the conflict these last few years. So in terms of supporting Juneteenth, it's really messed up to make people choose between going to San Francisco on that day or going to South Berkeley and supporting South Berkeley. I'm sorry?
You need the ladies.
Yes, the lady cops. I'm just hoping that Juneteenth has said, the people from, Sam Dyke and Rabia have said that we can have a table down there, but they would appreciate some announcements. They would appreciate, I think it is a story that's worthy, on the north side of Berkeley, they have the Chalk and Chocolate Festival, like whatever. And here in South Berkeley, we have the oldest Juneteenth festival in the country.
Right.
And it gets zero play. So I'm hoping that KPFA programmers are going to, that we can get some synergy going back and forth around programming around that really significant and treasure. So maybe that's some of what's happening with outreach. Do you have any, if anybody's got questions or suggestions?
I, uh,
Andrea, I have a question. What day is the Juneteenth festival going to be on the 12th?
No, it's on Sunday the 26th, which is the big giant gay day in the city.
Got it. Well, June 19th.
It's supposed to be in the teeth. It's supposed to be on Father's Day in the third week of June.
Okay. And, very confusing.
So the police get to decide what we honor and what we don't, apparently.
Okay. Franklin.
I would just say that the apprenticeship program has done live remote broadcasts from Juneteenth in the past, or either that or we went out and recorded like it was live and replayed it. So maybe we should reconnect outside the meeting and hopefully the apprenticeship program could get together and do a live broadcast from the whatever it is festival. It's going to be Juneteenth festival. Okay, maybe we could do a. So if that would be on a Sunday, then we just have to find who to bump off the air for that amount of time. So I'll put that out there. I can talk to your apprentices on our Tuesday meeting and put the Juneteenth live broadcast in the air.
Just make sure they know it's on the 26th, not
the 19th. Yeah.
Not any teenth at all.
Is the 22nd or the
26th?
Okay, Thursday.
No.
We're in the wrong place.
6/26.
Okay, I got it now. I'm back in the right spot.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now we're ready for, are we done with the outreach? Any more questions? Okay. Staff reports.
You want to go back and...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to the... Let's do the PMB report, and then we'll do the staff.
What's up? Peanut butter?
No, because I was, my phone went on and off during that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll report on a couple of things that have gone on since last month.
I could talk about personnel, though, maybe.
Okay. Cool. Uh-huh. Let's see. We've talked a fair bit about the moves that our East Coast sister stations will be having to do within the next year and a half. That includes WPFW, the building that it's located in D.C., the city paper building, is being torn down, so it needs a new location. They may also have to move their transmitter. They have a couple of options identified. However, they do not have a cash surplus, so they are challenged. They've been getting a little bit of cooperation from American University in D.C., which is wonderful. But, you know, it's a big challenge. That's ahead of them. One of the things that we talked about, I went to go and see them while I was in D.C. last week for the Media and Democracy Coalition annual meeting, and I met with the GM there, John Hughes, and we chatted a bit, and we're going to get him involved in the lobbying effort in D.C. to try to bring back PFTP for the 2012 budget. That's the Public Telecommunications Facility Fund. WPFW had a proposal in, and then the budget was scrapped from the federal, then the program was scrapped from the federal budget. It's $185 million program. But in one of those weird things, some rural Alaskan Republican senators are fans of the program, and it looks like one of them may be reintroducing it as a budget rider. And the idea is to drum up some congressional support for a kind of rural-urban bipartisan effort to stick it back in the budget. If that were to happen, PFW's proposal has a good chance to be funded, and it would really help them move. We also talked about the WBAI move. Their lease expires in December of 2012. So we have two big challenges ahead of us. They do not. And they are paying exorbitant rent where they are. Part of their challenge is that in the New York real estate market, rent is exorbitant everywhere, and they're concerned if they get too far from the city that they will become inaccessible both to workers that rely on public transportation, especially, you know, on a 24-hour schedule. They have people that come in at midnight and 2 in the morning and 4 in the morning, and they have to be able to get there, and not everyone in New York has a car. And the other...
No one in New York has a car.
Yeah, Well, there is a need if you have a job that starts at 4 a.m. So they need, you know, there are safety issues and there are also, you know, scheduling issues if people live some distance from the station. The other thing, of course, is the ability of guests to get to the station in a reasonable way. So they're sort of balancing whether they can afford to be out of Midtown Manhattan or if they can afford to stay in Manhattan. They don't know. Let's see, we passed a motion restructuring the affiliate task force in order to sort of help bring more affiliate participation. That's a task force that is designed to sort of help and support the affiliates coordinator and the affiliates program and be a liaison communication-wise between the 150 affiliates, the affiliates coordinator, and the board of the organization. On the lawsuit front, we have settled the lawsuit from the right-wing organization against the KPFK show Uprising. They claim that they were defamed by the accusation, well, by the accusation, by the implication that they potentially had some involvement in a mosque bombing. That lawsuit has been settled on fairly positive terms. Our liability because of insurance is approximately $10,000 and hasn't cost much more than that. There's a clarification statement that was put up on the Uprising website and announced on air regarding the known facts regarding the mosque bombing. What else? A couple other lawsuit updates. We continue to be embroiled with what we will call the after effects of the 2007 New York-based election lawsuits, which happened when Dan Siegel was the IED. We have attorneys on both sides, the side that was nominally representing Pacifica and the side that was nominally representing, I guess, the Ace Slate in New York, and both of them are trying to recover their attorney's fees. The substance of the website, the substance of the lawsuit is long gone. It's all been resolved. So it is just a question of everybody wanting money. Right now, nobody's got any money, and everyone is trying to get some. So there are lawsuits from attorneys on both sides. So even the lawyer that was representing us is now a plaintiff. But, you know, that's life. There is also a new lawsuit from the former program director at WBAI, Bernard White, which was long rumored and has now been filed. What else? We did a little bit of work regarding the report writer system, and we have a committee called the Financial Recovery Accountability Task Force that's doing a tremendous amount of work on our financial reporting systems and trying to make them work better. There's a great deal of repetitive, redundant data entry going from MEMSIS to Great Plains to Excel and back and forth and back and forth, and it takes a lot of labor. Mistakes happen because you're re-entering data over and over and over again, and people's finger slips and extra zeros turn up, and that's part of the reason for reports that don't always add up. So there's a certain amount of work being done in how we can sort of streamline that process so people don't waste their time entering data from one program to another, because we don't have enough staff to spend our time that way. And there's a lot of that going on throughout the network. What else? We will likely be meeting in person in September in Los Angeles. I don't know whether there will be a second meeting this year or not. That's still being debated, but it looks like September in Los Angeles is likely. The next meeting would be in Washington. It may happen in November. It may not at this point. It's a little bit hard to tell. In either case, that will be less meetings than originally scheduled, so that line item in the budget will be less than anticipated, substantially. I don't know by how much exactly. And I guess, unless I'm forgetting something, that's what I've got.
We have a new affiliate, do you know?
I mentioned that briefly, yeah, oh, okay. that we restructured the affiliates.
No, but a new one signed up.
So. Which one?
WOLO? W...
Great.
Yeah, I'll send it out to you.
Cool.
Yeah, right, on that one. And the personnel committee, you were talking about old job descriptions. Yeah. So the personnel committee is working on a PD description. And so that will be going to before the PMB. So, yeah, because they need to update them. Yeah. And so we'll see how that goes. Same way probably with the GM descriptions too, so we're working on that, and that's good. And racism, sexism will meet because we're trying, we haven't met, and so all I have to do is convene this meeting and then a chair will take over from the rest of the body. But Summer Reese is asking that all of us who haven't met to get on it and meet. And so some committees haven't met. So if you're not on a committee, you probably will be called or so to get on a committee, so we just got to get it up to date and get with these reports and get them over with.
Okay. Yes, Mal?
I'm on a committee, but nobody has ever gotten a hold of me or anything.
I know, that's one of the ones where the computer failed. I think it's governance.
Is it governance?
Yeah. Okay. I'm on two committees, the audit committee and the elections committee. And are you on both of those committees too, Anthony? Yes. Okay, Anthony and I are both on those committees. And they've been meeting. And one of the things I learned on the first meeting of the audit committee that I attended is that every member of the LSB is supposed to sign a confidentiality agreement. So I've been trying to get hold of a confidentiality agreement. And once I get my hands on it, I will email it to everybody. You can print it out and sign it and send it back, and we'll talk about that.
Can we use the one from the B&B?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because Chris and Nara.
Yes, I can send that to you.
Oh, okay, okay, all right. All right, good. Thank you, Laura, because it's not. And the Elections Committee is having a very interesting discussion about using some kind of an electronic voting thing, which I don't know if it's going to pan out, but it's interesting discussion so far. An online voting, right. We just talked to this one outfit that can do a combination of online, telephone, and paper ballot in the same election, so that people who don't have online access but could vote on the phone can do that, and people who insist on receiving a paper ballot could do that, but that would obviously be a very small number compared to what we do now. Anyway, it's interesting, and there's nothing really to report yet, but we're working on it. And fortunately, we have some time because there will not be an election till next year, so there's a little bit of time to work this out. You want to add anything, Anthony?
No.
Okay. Barbara wants to ask Tracy a question.
You were talking about the report writer problems with the...
Little, yeah.
Yeah. And did you say that this is being worked on in this strategic... No.
I swish things together.
Okay. I'm very curious about what the strategic committee is doing. And these meetings are not streamed. Is that because it's a working group? When will we find out something about this?
Well, two things. First,
I call it the secret committee.
I know. I've actually argued about the streaming let me say two things. First, as a member of the Finance Committee, you can join it at any point.
I may?
You may.
Oh.
Any member of the Finance or Audit Committee may join it. So as a personal thing, you could do that. You also can listen in on any of the calls that you'd like to. But I know that doesn't apply to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So, it's being treated as a task force that doesn't stream. That said, I haven't heard much on the calls that couldn't be streamed. The report writer corrections or issues are being handled by the CFO with the treasurers on the treasurer's meeting structure. I just figured that was too much detail for some people.
I've heard about that starting up, and I want to be in on it to kind of help hear how the problems are going to be resolved.
Right. The Financial Accountability Task Force is looking at a couple of things, but one of them that's coming up is both the error rate and the sort of time-wasting effort of sort of the system that's been patched together. It's kind of, the accounting system has some Winchester Mystery House aspects as well.
It's huge. It's...
Yeah, and you're going from MEMSIS to Excel to Great Plains and back, and every time you switch modules, you've got to shove over a bunch of data, and people make mistakes. And so they're looking at some kind of streamlining that would stop that,
okay?
Because it's having an impact.
I will.
There's other things, but that's probably
find out about getting in on those meetings.
Okay, all right. Are there any other questions, Henry?
I have one question, I guess, for Tracy, and then one little report about the technology committee. The question for Tracy is about the in-person meetings and the bylaws and stuff. Is there just an agreement to
violate the bylaws
and nobody's going to sue? Okay, good.
Basically, there's an agreement to violate the bylaws. Some people are not too thrilled about it. Last year's chair felt that violating the bylaws was the bottom line, and we could not do so. This year's chair has pretty much brought up the financial emergency line that is in the bylaws, and is enforcing it. In reality, we've not made a decision. Time has gone by, and the ability to have three more meetings this year is virtually impossible. So the question is whether it will be one or two. That said, I think that a board where some people haven't met other people in person has some challenges, and that, you know, we're suffering a bit. You don't cover as much on the phone meetings, and it's harder for people to follow. So it's, you know, we will save some money and we'll probably suffer a bit in terms of efficiency and getting things done. It's, you know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of scenario.
And yes, we're glad.
Thank you. Just briefly about the technology committee, it was finally convened this past week on short notice, and I was unable to make it because I had a flotilla commitment that I couldn't get out of. So I made that the priority, and I probably won't be able to go if it meets again next week. In past years, we've had several representatives on the tech committee, and I believe I was the only one elected this year. But I'm just raising this because if somebody else wants to join the tech committee, I have no idea what the committee is going to do this year because I wasn't on the first call we've had. But I just want to raise it that since I'm not going to be fully available, at least for the next month, perhaps somebody else might want to join.
Thank you. I want to point out that we have a little over 15 minutes left, and I just want to triage the agenda a little bit. We still have the staff reports and the KFCF report. Mal asked me to remove the Arlene Engelhardt censure motion from this agenda, and he'll let us know if he wants to put it on a future agenda. And I would like to talk about the booster for Santa Cruz. Andrea, do you still have questions about the budget process that you want us to deal with?
Billions.
I'm happy to carry it over to the next meeting.
Okay.
Andrew, we're as part of that budget process. The question is, if we at our next meeting, if we walked in the door with any idea of how to let our budget reflect our strategic priorities for development, that would be a great help if you could be ready to talk about those things in your next report and see what it is you need, what kind of budget would reflect our strategy and how we can help with that. That would be awesome.
Okay, great. So staff reports, CWA.
Yeah. I can report that the arbitration over Amy Ellison's layoff, the proceedings have finished. And there'll be a decision in the next month or two. It's kind of unclear how long it's going to take. also, the union is very interested in building solidarity with the unpaid staff. And we're looking into ways to gather feedback from the unpaid staff to find out what their feelings are, what their complaints are, and try to work out some kind of structure that CWA can also support the unpaid staff.
Is there also supposed to be an UPSO report? Is there somebody
who can answer?
Anthony's
going to
do it?
Not much to report. I believe the last meeting was March the 31st, and we're hoping to have another one soon. They are, contrary to what some people are saying, they are well attended when management is present because people are interested in what's going on at the station, and that went for when I met with GM and also Andrew. I don't know if Sharon would like to add anything.
No.
Okay. There's no meeting scheduled, is that what you said?
We're hoping to have another one scheduled soon.
Soon. Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. Any questions for either of the staff? Okay, KFCF.
We had Sasha Lilly come down on April 28th, and she gave a talk on economic issues, and we had about 130 people show up, 125, 130 people, and good turnout. We made a few hundred bucks for KFCF, and It was a great thing. We're working on some future events, but not a whole lot else going on at the moment to report here. Just things are going on.
Good. Thanks. I noticed that when I was in the phone room one day, I got a bunch of calls from Fresno, and I couldn't figure out. I still don't know why, but it was like
We were pitching at that time. We give the 800 number.
Oh, I see.
Some of our local shows.
Like, all of a sudden, I'm talking to people, all these people from Fresno. I didn't know what it was. Okay, great.
When were you there? When was it?
It was either last Tuesday or last Wednesday. Yeah, Tuesday morning. Yeah. Okay. So now the only item left is the booster for Santa Cruz. So I sent this out to the board, but let me just say what happened. I was taking phone calls, and I was approached by Michael Yoshida, who said that last year, well, first of all, people need to understand that the station is heard well in areas surrounding Santa Cruz, Scotts Valley, Boulder Creek. All people in that area can hear it. But in the town of Santa Cruz itself, it's very come and go, you know. Whatever, there's a word for it, you know what I mean. It's spotty, that's the word. Very spotty. And people who live there are very unhappy about it. And we actually got a phone call on the KPFA LSB line, which I finally listened to, from a Santa Cruz listener who complained, and I took a phone call from a Santa Cruz listener. And then all of a sudden, Michael Yoshida approaches me and says that last year the LSB voted to help raise funds for a booster in Santa Cruz. And so I talked to a couple of people about it, and one of the people I talked to was Barbara, who has a contact in Santa Cruz, so she just wrote to him and said, were there people in Santa Cruz who would help do this? And he sent out an email, and some money has come in. We need to raise $5,000. We've already got $450 with very little effort. And so I'm hoping that the board will agree to take this on. If each board member raised, you know, a little bit of money, it would be done, and I think we have some support in the Santa Cruz area. Tracy also had a suggestion about approaching a foundation, and I've started to follow up on that. I'm working on that. So what I'd like is just to know that nobody on the board objects to this project. If anybody objects, we'll take it up. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't it true that Chandra Hauptman was working on this project also? Is there any link to this effort and that effort that anybody knows?
I don't, but I'd be happy to contact Chandra and ask her. Sure, sure. Go ahead, Con.
Well, if people would take a commitment to raise $200, what I did is, I have a lot of contacts in Santa Cruz because I taught there for 23 years, and so I just made some phone calls. I kicked in a little money of my own and got together $200. Really wasn't difficult at all, and it is very frustrating because when you're in Santa Cruz, you know, NPR is what you can get, and KPFA is just not there. So I just think that people, you know, I'm not saying you come up with $200 on your own. A lot of people don't have that kind of money. Most people don't have that kind of money. But you know, if you say, look, we got this opportunity. Here's this really interesting town, you know, with very interesting politics, you know, sort of in some ways mirrors aspects of Berkeley, and they don't have KPFA. So it's both a way for us to get membership, it's a way for us to get money, but I think as important as that is it's a way to spread our influence. I mean, let's make a difference. Those people are stuck with NPR down there. That's what they're stuck with. And, well, KZSC, which is the campus radio station, but they're really weird. Like most campus radio stations, you know, they do reggae followed by classic music, followed by politics, followed by how to raise dogs, followed by gardening, followed by veganism, you know, and they switch every 5 minutes. So I just think if people would kind of make a commitment that I'm going to lean on people until I get $200 together, we can do this thing, and it would be a big plus. Mm-hmm.
There is something. What's his name? Your friend in Santa Cruz.
David. Put one up on the email. I'll send it again.
Yeah. We'll send it.
The thing I sent to him.
And let me just say, there's a certain amount of urgency about this because there is a location in Santa Cruz. There's a local station there that's willing to have the booster on their building, but there's an FCC permit to do this, which expires on October 1st. And what Michael Yoshida told me was that it's very important that this work actually be done during the summer, because you need to do it during the good weather. So, we just sort of need to hurry on this, and we're not take any money away from the fund drive, but just set this little fund aside. And Maria, in the business office, is ready to make sure that the money that comes in for this goes into
earmarked.
It has to be earmarked, and it'll go in for it. Okay, Franklin.
I would just suggest that maybe, like we did in other cases, like a one-day fundraiser might be a trick to do it. A one-day fundraiser probably could raise that up.
Or at least a cart on the air, maybe.
I think we can do it without.
Maybe a cart on the air, though.
Okay.
For people who listen, who have the spotty reception.
Yeah,
okay. I'll take care of it.
Go, Vanessa.
Okay.
Okay. It's nice to close out the meeting on an issue where we're all in agreement. And my question, though, is. Is the project, quote-unquote, shovel-ready of all the regulatory requirements? So all we need is $5,000. Very nice.
So is this a board project that we all will take on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No objections,
yeah.
Right?
Put your money where your mouth.
Thank you all very much. And Paula, you want to say something about next month?
Is everybody going to meet at the Roanoke Park Library on June 21st?
June 18th.
Saturday is.
How's that work out?
Oh, Saturday is June 18th.
Yeah.
From 11 to 4.
Right.
Roanoke Park Expressway. It's a big, giant yellow building.
We'll post the directions on the webpage. Anybody object? Okay.
And is,
that's an early day for all of us.
Like an advertised
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
June 18th. All right. Thank you all very much.
Right on.
I'm ready to accept a motion to adjourn.
So
second.
Second.
Thank you.
Do you
need any objections? Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.